Well, if there's no questions about anything, everybody's happy? Okay. Well, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And again, I thank you for being here this evening. Paul is, we're going to look at just a few verses, chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. And there's a theme that Paul's going to be addressing here, kind of continuing from last week. Last week, if you remember, I made some of those CDs. I think I got one out there from last week, if you're interested in it. If you notice on the website what we called it, it was real popular last night at Bible Study. That's why they're all gone. They took them all. The title of the CD was Prayer or Sex. And that's the first part. Yeah, Prayer or Sex, and then Paul says sex. You know, it's like prayer or sex. Paul says sex. And so that's what we're talking about last week. Well, and again, it's funny, but it's real interesting that in the context there, we saw last week about it appeared that some people had begun, and this plays right into what we're talking about tonight, is some people had begun drifting away from their responsibilities in life. In the case right here, it was in the marriage relationship. They were still married, but they weren't going to fulfill the sexual duties or the sexual responsibilities or whatever. And they were either too holy or they're going to be spending too much time in prayer. And that's what chapter 7, verse 1 was saying, that apparently the Corinthians said, someone was teaching that it's not good to have sexual relations. And then Paul spends the next few verses saying, in an imperative mode, yes, you should be having sex. It's a normal activity. It's a responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a right. And then he makes one concession, meaning he meets them halfway in verse 6. He says, in verse 6, he says, I make this concession. But in verse 5, the concession that he made was, okay, if you really have to have time away from sex so you can pray, then make sure there's mutual agreement. I mean, it's almost as if Paul's saying, why do you need to take time away from sex so you can pray? Okay, if you have to do that, if there's mutual consent, then go ahead and you can spend a little bit of time praying and staying away from sex. But it's almost as if he's saying, I don't understand why that's a problem. It's like saying, I can't go to work today because I've got to pray. Or, there's a variety of things in life, and that's what this is heading for right here, is it appears, as we look into these verses, that the Corinthians had, as the whole book's about this, had a false idea about true spirituality. They thought that now that they were Christians, we talked a couple weeks ago, now that they were Christians, they could either go do whatever they wanted to do, that the physical life didn't matter, so they could go off and sin, or with that same view, that the physical life doesn't matter, and if you really want to be spiritual, then you just neglect your physical life and come over here and be spiritual. And Paul is very clearly, as we go through here, is saying, you can't separate those things. You can't separate the two of them. You can't say, for example, I'm going to be secular now, and this has nothing to do with spirituality. For example, I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to go do my secular job today. This isn't important in my spiritual life. It's very important. In other words, as we go through this, look on your notes right there. The guiding principle we're going to see tonight is live out your Christian life where you were at when God called. I have a hard time with those words. You may have noticed on the notes, were and where. I have no idea how to spell either one of them. One's W-H-E-R-E. That would be where. Where are you? And I can say it, but I would spell that in a variety of ways. And the same thing with were. So whenever you see were or where, have you ever noticed that before? Anybody ever noticed that? Okay. It's even in the book. It made it through the editing in some place. I mean, the poor editor, she edited continuously for 260 pages fixing that. Of course, there's no way she could catch every one of them because I'm continually, by the time she got in, she was confused, you know. So now I'm trying to read it. And Tony's sat me down a couple times and tried to tell me, and it's like, There's a mental block. There's a vacuum. It's a problem. Okay. Thank you. I just needed to share that with you. Live out your Christian life where you were at when God called you. Stay where you are and do not think changing your circumstances will change you spiritually. The point of this, but where Paul's heading here, is that they apparently felt that now that they were Christians, they could improve their spiritual life by changing things. And where we just left off last week, if you go back with me in verse, say, 13, let's go back to verse 12. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. Now, why would he say that? Because if there's a believer with an unbelieving wife, now that he became a believer, my gosh, I've got to divorce this heathen woman. I can't live with this heathen woman. I've got to separate. Paul says, no. If she's willing to live with you, you don't need to change your marital status to advance in your spiritual life. You've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. God has made a difference. Your marriage relationship isn't going to put you in better standing with God. So just stay there. You're fine. In other words, what he's getting at is you can't affect your spiritual life. Now, stay with me on this. I'll make a statement. You can't affect your spiritual life by starting to change all of your circumstances. If I divorced this woman and married a more spiritual woman, I would have a better spiritual life. If I quit my secular job and got a job working in a church, then I'd advance faster spiritually. I've tried that. Not true. Not true at all. Okay? In fact, okay, that's enough of that. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. These verses are more about the believer accepting their place in life and saying, this is good enough. This is where you are called. This is where you're at. Live it out. You don't need to start adjusting and making your life a spiritual world. Just live it out. It's more about that than should we get divorced or can we get divorced or who can get divorced. You can pick information up in here about that, but this is more about, listen, Dave, let's read this again, verse 14. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. So if there's a believing wife, and she's saying, my gosh, I'm married to this heathen man. He doesn't even go to church. He doesn't even like to pray. How can I develop, and you've heard this before, I've heard this for years, how can I develop spiritually as a believing Christian woman with an unbelieving husband? Paul says, he's fine. He's sanctified. Live with him. But how am I going to do this? Paul says, he's in God's will. He's the right man. Stay with him. And goes on. And the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her unbelieving husband. So vice versa. Now you've got the believing husband who's got an unbelieving wife. How can I advance in God's plan and still have this pagan woman? Verse 15. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. Now here's the exception. You as the believer, it's not going to change your spiritual life, where you work, who you're married to. You just keep doing your job. You just keep following. Now, again, right away, if you've got a job and you're a drug dealer and you're selling drugs on the streets and you get saved, maybe we need a career change because now you're into an illegal operation. But this is not using that. This is saying right here, for example, if you're a school teacher and you're teaching classes or you're a basketball coach and then you get saved and get serious about the Word of God, you don't need to quit teaching and quit coaching, quit mowing your yard and quit, you know, spending time with your family because now you're a Christian. You can still be a Christian and work and coach and mow and have normal conversations with people without it affecting your spiritual life in the sense that the idea there is that if you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you are in right standing with God and there's nothing you need to do to make yourself holier or closer to God. You're there through Christ. Now, live your life as a Christian wherever you're at. Again, that's not saying if you're in some kind of corrupt business and some kind of corrupt relationship, you shouldn't clean your life up. That's not what this is talking about. Here it says, but here's the exception. If the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God, here's the theme right here. God has called us to peace. If someone wants to go, let them go. But you are called to peace. Just live your life out. How do you know, wife, whether you'll save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you'll save your wife? Now, here's our new verses. Verse 17. Nevertheless. So, in other words, he's saying, you stay in your marriage relationship. The exception, if the unbeliever wants to go, let him go. But you don't need to do anything different. Nevertheless, even in that case, the theme, Each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. So now he's going to go on. He's going to use a couple examples. He's talking about marriage right here in a mixed marriage, a believing spouse with an unbelieving spouse. He says, good enough. You can live your life out as a Christian and don't need to change that. He's going to now go ahead and use another example of circumcision. And it's not circumcision on the level that the Galatians were dealing with circumcision. In the book of Galatians, circumcision was a big issue. It became a religious issue. It's like if you got circumcised, now you're holy. This is more social. This is more about your culture. If you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, you don't need to become uncircumcised or circumcised. If you're circumcised, you're fine. You're with God through Christ. If you're uncircumcised, fine, you're saved in Christ. You're in the same position with God. Then he's going over to talk about slaves. If you're a slave, not a problem. You're still in the right position with God as a slave. And his theme that he's going through here is not so much about, you know, just you've got to stay. You can't adjust your life. You can't make any changes in life. It's that you don't need to make changes in your life to find God or find God's will or to get closer to God. Let's keep reading. Well, let's go back to verse 17. Where am I at on my notes here? I've got a bunch of stuff right here. Let me see if I can catch up on my notes. Let me just review this. The second thing on my notes there, the second point down, mixed marriage is the topic, but the theme becomes living at peace and staying where you are. That's really the theme he's broadening up. Because these people, this whole chapter of not having sex in marriage or leaving the unbelieving spouse was all about trying to attain a higher level of spirituality. And Paul's saying, you are spiritual. You can't get any closer to God if you have or if you don't have sex with your spouse. You are saved and close to God if you leave your spouse or if you don't. That's not going to make a difference. You're spiritual because of who you are in Christ. So live at peace, stay where you are, and develop what God's given to you. Let me see. Let's go down to Paul now illustrates with circumcision and slavery. These examples are used to support his statements concerning one sex in marriage to a non-believer. Oh, the word, there we go. Kaleo. Kappa, Alpha, Lambda, Epsilon, Omega right there. Kaleo is the word for calling. It is used 8 times in these verses. 8 times is a verb. Once it's used as a noun. So there's this word calling. It is used with this right here. With each condition listed, it's listed with circumcision. You're called while you're circumcised. You're called while you're uncircumcised. Called, we're going to see, is where God basically calls you to salvation. You hear the divine invitation. He's called you to salvation. And if you're going through life and you're circumcised, Paul's going to say, and you hear God's call for salvation, you respond, obviously, circumcision was good enough. He called you in that condition. Don't worry about it. Or you're uncircumcised. Good enough. He called you as uncircumcised. Stay there. Or as slave, well, now that I'm a Christian, I can no longer be a slave. Did he call you as a slave? Did you hear the divine invitation as a slave? Well, yes, I did. God's fine with that. God is not upset that you're a slave, or he's not upset that you're free. Just maintain your social status and continue. The idea is going to read these verses. The idea is not that you shouldn't change anything, or that you can't adjust your life, or that you shouldn't try to improve your situation, not including finding a better wife or husband. That if you wanted to improve, if you can attain your freedom, do so. Because it's insignificant in your spiritual life. If you're a school teacher, fine. But if you're going to quit your job as a school teacher and go work in business, fine. But don't do it for spiritual reasons. Don't think God's happier with you because you're, you know, now working in a Christian business somewhere instead of in the pagan school system. Just do what he's called you to do. Find your place. So that's the word calling. Turn the page 2 there. That third point on top of page 2, these two realities, the saved as a member of the kingdom of God and a citizen with natural responsibilities and needs, overlap in a variety of issues and circumstances. So again, what he's saying right here is you've got this collision, and it's hard for me. It's become easier for me just because life demanded it. But when I was in my 20s, And I was a Christian when I was 16, you know, and you went to church and you tried to figure out what God wanted you to do and just kind of bouncing around. I went to college, became a coach, became a school teacher, and was in my second year as a school teacher. And I'd heard the Word of God, I'd read through the Bible before, you know, I was interested in listening to people teach. But it's at that point I kind of like got excited. And I wanted to become spiritual, say. You know, I really wanted to take the step. And all of a sudden, and I did this very thing. I wanted to separate myself from all those things that were holding me back. And, of course, there are certain things you want to clean your life up and fix. But it included, I no longer could be like the average person. I couldn't just have a normal job. In fact, God had called me to, well, you name it. You know, prayer, fasting, Bible study, evangelism, door-to-door work. I mean, and I was, it's like all these other things kept getting in the way. You know, work, mowing the yard. And I'm not being funny. I mean, it's like I couldn't understand what is the value of grass. I mean, it just grows. And I could be studying, but instead I'm out here mowing this yard again. And now it's going to rain. It's going to grow faster. And now you understand, at between the age of 23, 24, 26, 27, right in that time period of my life, life was very frustrating because I wanted to find God. You know, I'm saved, I'm studying, but all these the details of life were in my way. And it was, well, you can just imagine me being an employee. Would you want to hire me? I mean, it's like, the only reason I'm here is because I've got to pay my bills. But as soon as I get my bills paid, I'm quitting because I'm going to go off and God's going to provide for me. And of course, I was in the whole idea of if I had enough faith, God would just drop money out of heaven or something to this effect. And again, you're going to, you know, fire me as your Bible teacher here by the time I get done talking. But you know, it was kind of like that if the reason I had to work was because I didn't have enough faith. If I was really a man of God, if I was really spiritual, you know, money would just like, you know, fall into my pockets or you know, whatever. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but that's kind of my attitude towards this whole thing. And I felt a definite tension between being a citizen of heaven, a child of God who was, you know, spiritual, and then, oh yeah, that's right, I'm also a man living in a body on the earth in time as a citizen of the United States of America with grass. And it's like, how do you combine these two things? And again, how do you combine them? Is you learn Bible. You learn what God is doing at this time in history. And at this time in history, God is very pleased. I'm confident God is very pleased when a man confesses Jesus Christ, comes in right standing with God through faith in Christ, allows the Word of God to penetrate his life, penetrate his heart, and then goes about his daily business, mowing his yard, going to work, paying his bills, loving his wife, raising his children, and is just busy being, guess what? A man. Because God made us to be people, made us men and women, and that's what he wants us to do. I mean, God doesn't expect me to fly around because he created me in a body and created gravity. He expects me to walk from place to place or drive from place to place. This is the world I live in. Now, again, you may say, what is he talking about? That was revelation to me because I tried for years to break out of that system. So, these two realities of the being in the kingdom of God and being a citizen of the, you know, the natural world, how do you balance them out? They overlap in a variety of issues and circumstances. A, since God calls people, they are in and every, they, excuse me, since God calls people while they are in any and every social situation, this proves that the social or natural situation is irrelevant, meaning it doesn't matter where you're at. You can leave it, you can keep it, you can change it, but it's not going to affect your spiritual standing with God. Number B, or letter B. Since the social situation, marriage, being a Jew, being a slave, being a businessman, is irrelevant at the time of the call, it remains irrelevant after the call. If you're a businessman and God calls you to become a Christian, you hear the call of God, the divine invitation, and you respond, there is no reason now to quit being a businessman. Oh, maybe you need to change the way you practice business. Maybe you need to change the way you coach and maybe your values in coaching and your ultimate goal of coaching, but you remain a coach. You don't need to say, okay, now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to divorce my wife. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to, you know, pave my yard so I don't have to mow. And it's like, what are you doing? You're now creating an imaginary world to match your spiritual life. You've got a false understanding of spirituality. And C, but since these social situations are irrelevant, then if change does occur, for example, if, per se, I'm a businessman and someone offers me a better job, or if I invest some money and I make a lot of money, or if I have a chance to move from city A to city B because of a job appointment, if it was irrelevant that I could have stayed there, it is also irrelevant. Go ahead and switch. It's like, if you, for example, Paul's going to say here, if a slave can become free, there's no value. You're not a better Christian because you're a slave. If you're a slave and you can gain your freedom, do so. But the point is, it doesn't matter if you stay a slave or you become a slave. You are spiritual. You're right standing with God. So since these social situations are irrelevant, then if change does occur, then this change is also irrelevant in light of your spiritual condition. Let me just read these verses now in light of this, then we'll come back and talk about them. Chapter 7, verse 17. We're going to read down to verse 24. It goes verse 25. Notice what verse 25 says. Now, about virgins. Just like we began this chapter, he began, now, for the matters you wrote about. And then he makes that statement, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Now, he's been talking about that. Well, now, by the time we get to verse 25, he's going to introduce a new topic. So we're not going to go past verse 25, because next week, now, about virgins. So we're going to read verses 17 through 24. After having talked about the married man who is a believer not leaving his unmarried wife or vice versa, but the exception, if the unbeliever wants to leave, let him do so. Just, you know, live at peace, maintain your life. We can't control the unbelievers. Now verse 17, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. Three important words we'll come back and look at. Retain, assigned, and called. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Don't confuse your natural life with spiritual advancement. It's a rule he lays down. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Now, how would that happen? But we'll move on. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. If you want to worry about something in your circumcised condition or your uncircumcised condition, are you doing what God called you to do? Now, you understand, it's a whole lot more fun to disobey God's commands and do what you want to, but say, oh, what I'm going to do is switch jobs, and that's going to make me more spiritual. Well, no, why don't you just keep your job and do what God wants you to at your job? No, I want to just switch jobs and say I'm more spiritual. For example, me, I wanted to quit teaching and get into church, because then I'd be spiritual. Well, Galen, Paul would say, why don't you just keep the job you've got and follow God's commands as a teacher? No, because I just want to make it simple. I just want to switch jobs and be spiritual. It don't happen that way. You be spiritual where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're living. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Do what's right where you're at. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Situation and called have the same root word. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Because again, I'll come back to that. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're free or a slave. In the spiritual kingdom, there's a whole other standard. Well, I'm a free individual. Right. That's here. That's irrelevant because you're God's slave. Or you can say, well, I'm a slave and I'm owned by people. That's irrelevant because God has set you free. You're above all this. Just be a slave. You're free. You can be a slave. So in other words, what he's pointing out here is the two worlds. One doesn't affect the other in the sense of spirituality. Spirituality comes from God, and it's not going to matter if you're slave or free. It's going to not make you more spiritual.
You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Slaves of men? What would that? Do not now, as a free man in Christ, become slaves of these institutions. Don't let the institutions you're in dictate your spirituality. You can be a slave and still be doing what God's called you to do. Brothers, each, and here's the summary verse. Brothers, each man is responsible to God, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to. And that's a restatement of the same thing we read in verse 17. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him. Now we end this little part. Brothers, each man is responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. So why should you stay where you're at? Because you're living before God where that's at, and don't be trying to, you know, adjust your spiritual standing by moving around. Let's look at some of these verses. Let's go back to verse 17. I've got some notes here if you don't mind. The first thing up there, nevertheless, refers back to verse 15 where the exception was made. Nevertheless, then returns Paul to his point that change in circumstances is not to be sought due to a person having become a Christian. Now, this is important. Maybe not for us in this room, because most of us have been saved a while. We've already probably gone through these things. The very fact that you're still on your feet as a Christian means if you've known these verses or if you haven't known these verses, you've adjusted. Is it? You know what I'm saying? I know I adjusted. Life, and I tell my sons this, you can either learn from someone telling you, learn the Word of God, or you can go out there in the world and learn the same thing. It's going to be easier to learn it just, you know, academically. Here's what you're supposed to do. Now follow these principles and go out and apply them. You say, oh, no, I'm going to do it my own way. Oh, no, don't do that. Because you're still going to learn this, but you're going to learn it out there the hard way. And so the same thing is true of this, is I can't tell you that I sat down and read these verses. Well, I can tell you this. Back when I was in my early 20s and I was going through that process, I'd read these verses and I didn't like them. I wasn't really sure what they were saying, but I didn't like a phrase like this. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned him and to which God has called him. That just doesn't sound good. That just doesn't sound like, now that you're saved, you should start making changes. That sounds like, now that you're saved, you're saved. You're good to go. Enjoy life. Oh, no, I'm going to become more spiritual. No, don't do that. You're already spiritual. Just do what God's assigned you. Just enjoy life. Be a Christian where you're at. I didn't like that verse. I can tell you, I've told you stories before. Again, I don't know, I can't always tell you if it's right or wrong, but on this perspective, I was 25, two kids, 25, owned a house or was paying on a house, bought a car, nice double lot on the corner, had a great job, and got spiritual. So I quit my job in February. Of course, I finished the school year out, but resigned. I'm not going to do this pagan work anymore. I'm going to go follow the Lord. And try to sell the house. That was in 85. Remember the big recession in 85? No one sold any houses in 85, including us. So we ended ours, was repossessed to some extent. The Lord just didn't answer our prayers. What else? And we went, left a year, had a college degree, had a career to go work for $4 an hour in Tulsa at a factory. Of course, we didn't get the job ahead of time. We just moved. Because we live by faith, not by sight. Now, some of you probably aren't at that level, but I was at 25. We just put our stuff in a U-Haul and drove. Went to Tulsa, got an apartment, following God. You know, this is what Elijah would have done, you know. And then the next morning, went out and looked for a job. Now, of course, bills are piling up, but I'm not fearful. I'm full of faith and ignorance. But let's focus on the faith part. And we spent 7 years in Tulsa. Now, God is faithful. He did teach us a lot. Things I look back, we could have learned maybe at home, reading the Bible, studying, following basic principles. Instead, we went out and says, no, we're going to learn it this way. And indeed, we did. After 7 years, we came limping back to Iowa saying, okay. And basically, what all said and done, we're back in the place we were 20 years ago, except we didn't always stay here. It would have been easier, just would have stayed there and did the same thing for 20 years, and life just would have been easier. But, you know, the good news is we've learned some things. So, nevertheless, let's look at these. I've got the Greek written out there for you, and I've got the three words highlighted. I'm going to read right out of the Greek, rather not right out of the Greek. I'm going to read the translation as we go through there. It says, only to each as has divided the Lord, Each as has called God, so let him walk, and so in the churches all I command. So right here, he's saying, this is what I say in all the churches. And this is right here. Each person, the word has divided, so the Lord has divided something, and the Lord has called something. And then you've got that last phrase, let him walk. Let's look at that last phrase, let him walk first. Let me look right here. I think I've got a mistake in my notes. Assigned and called. Yeah. That's wrong right there at the beginning where it says retain and remain. That should be the part that's let him walk. That's a mistake right there where it says retain and remain. That should be the let him walk, or as we see in the NIV. No, that's correct. That's correct. Retain or remain. I'm sorry. That is correct. I'm sorry, I've got like four different translations bouncing here, and I'm getting confused. Sorry. But in the NIV, it says retain or remain. Also, another word is retain. That word means let him walk. And it's in the imperative. It's a command. It means this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to remain there. And the word means this, to make one's way, to make progress, to make due use of one's opportunity, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself. It's the image of walking. It's the image of walking through life. So, nevertheless, each one should walk out in his life. It's a command. Maintain this, walk this out, stay in the path. And then the two words that we see before that word in the Greek, you've got the two words, has divided or has called. Now flip the page over, page 3. The first one there that is in the NIV, the Lord has assigned. It is a word that means to part, to apportion, a share, to deal, to distribute. And many people consider, both these, they're not synonyms. The debate, if you care about the debate is, are these words assigned and called synonyms? Like God, this is just your life, your spiritual, natural life, he's just dealt it to you. Some people, and I tend to look at this way, is you've been assigned a place. You are at the point of your calling. You've been dealt. These are the cards you've been dealt. You're married to this person. You've got this many kids. You work at this job, and this is your career. This is how much money you save. This is where you're at. This is what you've been assigned in life. And at that point, you were called. At that point, you heard the divine invitation. And that's the second word, called. It's a reference to being to be called to partake in divine blessing of redemption or salvation. So you've been assigned a portion in life. Maybe as we go back to our example, now that you're in a position where your wife is an unbeliever, or you are uncircumcised, or you are a slave. That is what you were dealt. Those are the cards you were dealt, and now at this point in life, God calls you, and you respond in faith to Jesus Christ. So now, with your assigned position in life, you've received the calling and have said yes to Jesus Christ. Well, what do I do with my cards? I mean, okay, let's just say this is what you've been dealt. You've now got an unbelieving wife, you've got two kids, you've got a car payment, and you're a shop teacher. Now, my wife's a believer. She was a believer before me. Okay, so these are my cards. What do you do? Well, I'm going to throw away the wife. I'm going to throw away my car payment. I don't need these kids, and I definitely don't want to have a secular job. It's like, you can't throw your cards away. Keep your cards. And now, as a Christian, what's going to change now is how you play those cards. And that is what this is. I'm sorry if some people are offended by card playing, to bring card playing up into this. It's like, I did pastor church for a while that there's people that wouldn't play cards. It was against the church policy to play cards. But the men would get together on Thursday nights and play cards anyhow. But if it came up in church, they were against it. It's like, but nonetheless. So that's what this is saying. Nevertheless, each one should walk out in their life the place in life that the Lord has assigned him, the cards that you've been dealt. What did you find in your hand when you got saved? You woke up one day and you accepted Jesus Christ. Well, now I'm a saved person. What do I got in my hand? Well, this is what you've got. Play those cards. And to which God called him. Because God has called you. Let's say I'm a shop teacher. And God calls me and saves me as a shop teacher. That's who he called. He called a shop teacher. And so what do? Play it out. You're now assigned the job as a shop teacher. And you're called. Now listen. This is not a legalistic rule. Let's jump over here to verse 21. This is not legalism. This is a principle of not trying to become spiritual by changing things that aren't spiritual. For example, I'm not going to eat green vegetables because that makes me more spiritual. What?
Now, in my mind, it might make me more spiritual, but that's not true. So don't be distracted becoming spiritual on things that aren't spiritual. But at the same time, look at this. Were you a slave when, in verse 21, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Were you just a mere shop teacher when you were called? Yeah, just a shop teacher. I wish I would have gone to seminary and studied Greek, but I'm just a shop teacher. Don't let it bother you. God knew who he was calling. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. So it's not legalism. It's not like, well, God called me as a slave, so I got to stay, so I can't take, no, we're going to set you free. No. Don't want to change my status. Now you're in a legal. That's not what Paul's saying. He's not saying if you were a slave when God called you, you don't dare change. If you're a shop teacher when God called you, well, I don't dare change. No, hey, if you can go to seminary and study Greek, do so. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't think that by going to seminary, you're now going to become spiritual. Don't think that now that you're a slave, but if you could just be free, you'd be spiritual. You are spiritual. You're where God wants you right now. So again, the emphasis there is that it has no bearing. If you can become free, do so. But don't sit and worry about it and think you've got to be free to experience it. So let's come back here if you don't mind. We're about done here. Goes on. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Now, we could go through and study. Look at Thessalonians. Not so much Galatians. They're on another whole issue. Maybe Philippians. These people that are, where he's talking to community, people that were getting saved and trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives. Now, realize the impact the church had and how dangerous it could be. If you move into this pagan society, Paul, as a missionary, as an apostle, and he begins to pick people off for God. They start getting saved. And now, if they all think they're all going to become apostles, or if they all think they're going to sit around and pray all day, he's really doing a disservice to the society. You understand why? Well, that's what the Thessalonians were doing. He warns the Thessalonians. He says, I give you this rule. If a man don't work, he don't eat. Because some people were becoming so involved in Christianity that they were failing to do what God had called them to do. So, as we see this was a rule he laid down in all the churches. He tried to distinguish the idea of what is secular and what is spiritual, but at the same time, making them understand the two go hand in hand. The two, a spiritual man is going to work. A spiritual man is going to provide for his family. A spiritual man is going to have good relationships with people. That's just the way God created the world. And then we have to read this one more time. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not become circumcised. And that's about being a Jew or a Gentile. You don't have to become a Gentile to become a Christian. You don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. Don't switch. If you're a circumcised Jew, just continue. Just keep going. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But notice in this verse right here, verse 19, when he says circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, they may get the feeling there that these things don't matter. Maybe it's a spiritual thing, maybe it's a religious thing. It doesn't matter. But he corrects very quickly because you know the Corinthians are the same ones who said, I'm free, so nothing really matters. Anything I want to do is fine for me. He says that's not what I meant when I preached that message. And he may have talked about the right place for sex and sex outside of marriage. Well, they say, well, sex is wrong completely. He says, not really what I meant. He had to correct himself. And now he says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Oh, remember, circumcision was a command of God for the Jews. So are you saying the commands of God don't matter? So watch this. He corrects himself so they can't take it out of step. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. So again, don't try to switch. Just stay right there and find your balance. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who is a slave... Now again, verse 22 begins, and we're wrapping this up. 22 begins, you can see the contrast that just because you are a mere whatever in the earth doesn't mean God isn't using you in a great way in the kingdom. But at the same time, just because you're a great man in the world doesn't mean God's automatically got to put you on the front page or on the front lines. It's a completely different world. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Contrasting, similarly, he was a free when he was called is Christ's slave. So it just depends on how you look at it. And you can be both Christ's free man and Christ's slave at the same time. You were bought at a price, meaning you belong to God and He expects you to keep doing what you're doing. He created you to be a man, for example. This is something I remember learning this myself. He created you to be a man, so be a man. How can a giraffe honor God? By being a giraffe. How can the rivers honor God? By being a river. Well, how can a man honor God? I don't know. Well, He created you to be who you are, so live it out. Mow your grass. Do a nice job. I mean, that blew me away. I didn't used to put Christmas lights up because it was a waste of time. It was something I didn't want to get involved in. But it's like, hey, men, put Christmas lights up. Put them out again if you got some religious reason not to put lights up, whatever. But it's like there's so many things in my life that I didn't do that as I matured in, I think I matured. Maybe I'm backslidden. I think I matured. It's like, go ahead, put lights up. It's like, but I'm wasting time out here hanging these lights up. I should be studying or I should be praying. Well, what do you think you should do? Well, everybody else, I'd like to hang up some lights. Well, we don't do that. Go ahead, hang some lights up. You're a man. Men hang up Christmas lights. Do it. Or whatever. In other words, it's kind of like the ideal. Relax and live the life out. Live your life out. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man is responsible. God should remain in the situation God called him to. I mean, again, we're not saying just follow culture, but we are, for example, in my case, I am an American. I live in a nice city. We mow our yard in my city. We shovel our sidewalks in my city. This is what we do. This is where I'm called to. So just live it out. Now, verse 25, now about virgins. And now here we go. We'll pick that up next week. Now, does any of that make sense? I mean, what did you think? I mean, it's kind of setting people free, at least for myself. It set me free from religious bondage. It's like, stop getting so bogged down in different rules and how you're going to just live your life out, you know? And it's amazing. You can meet God on so many different levels, you know? I want to pray, and if you got any questions or comments, maybe some of your own stories, please feel free. I'll turn the video camera on and we'll put you on the internet. Father, we do thank you for your truth. We do thank you that we are free. We thank you that we can enjoy who we are and what you created us to be. But Father, we also thank you that you've set us free from sin, that we belong to Jesus Christ, and that you have made us spiritual and placed us in right standing with God. I ask, Father, that we would both enjoy our freedom, but Father, that we'd also enjoy our right standing with you. Again, I thank you so much for this word, for this church, and for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Thoughts? Thank you for coming.
Let's see, this Mr. Wayne Atkinson, he's the one that did one of the hard hats.